Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back. It's Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. In the eyes of its most fervent believers, technology is supposed to be a great equalizing force. Data and the tools we create from that information are supposed to eliminate base human behaviors like sexism and racism. Sadly, it doesn't always work out that way. Take the new study that's found troubling signs of racial discrimination from Uber drivers in Boston. The company's drivers here were twice as likely to cancel rides for passengers with African-American-sounding names. That's according to the report by the Cambridge-based National Bureau of Economic Research. Christopher Knittel co-authored the study. He's a professor of economics at MIT's Sloan School of Management, and he joins us now in the studio. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Damon Cox. He's director of economic development and entrepreneurship at the Boston Foundation. Damon Cox, welcome to you.
Thank you.
So, Professor Knittel, tell us first about this study. I mean, you found that Uber drivers were more than twice as likely to cancel rides for passengers with African-American-sounding names. How did you determine that?
So we ran two large-scale randomized controlled experiments, one in Seattle and one in Boston. In Seattle, we had research assistants of both ethnicities hailing cabs, Uber cars and Lyft cars. And in Boston, what we did is we had the same research assistant have two accounts. One account had a more African-American sounding name, and one account had a more white sounding name. And they would randomly choose which account they hailed the service from.
Okay. And so so you found generally that out of the many, what, hundreds of times you did this?
We took about 1,400 Uber and Lyft rides.
Okay, in Boston.
900 in Boston.
In Boston, okay. That that folks with African-American sounding names were more than twice as likely to have their rides canceled. How did that break down between supposedly black female sounding names and black male sounding names?
So it was predominantly among black male sounding names where the cancellations occurred. But overall, we found a doubling in cancellation when you used a black sounding name.
And how did that differ from the results you found in Seattle?
So in Seattle, we weren't collecting data on cancellations. What we collected data on were how long it took for the ride to be accepted and how long it took for the driver to come and pick you up. And in Seattle, what we found is if you were a black research assistant, it took longer for both the rides to be accepted and for the driver to come pick you up.
Now, there's something specific about the different ways in which drivers who are on Lyft services versus Uber services are alerted about new riders that factors into here. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's correct. So if you're an Uber driver, you don't see the name of the passenger until you accept the ride. If you're a Lyft driver, you see both the name and a profile photo before you accept the ride. So we shouldn't see the cancellation effect among Lyft drivers because they can simply pass you up rather than accepting and canceling.
So their racism can actually be more hidden because we don't even know if they're canceling people. They're just ignoring them.
That's correct. And we don't find an effective name among Lyft drivers because you shouldn't.
Okay, so that's how you could measure the cancellation rate with the Uber drivers because they've had to accept the rider, then they find out the name,
And then they have to cancel.
They're hitting the cancel.
Correct.
Okay. So, Damon Cox, jump in here. First of all, I mean, what's your reaction to Christopher Knittel's findings about ride-hailing services in Boston?
Well, you know, it's extremely disappointing, but I don't know if it's necessarily surprising. I think we're seeing a lot of technology kind of being influenced by human decisions. Of course, humans write algorithms. But there is implicit and unconscious bias in a lot of everything that we do. So, you know, for a Uber or Lyft driver to kind of make that last-minute decision, you know, whether it be unconscious or explicit or just straight-up prejudice, I guess isn't that surprising, unfortunately.
Yeah. You know, one thing that that's so fascinating about this study is that part of the attraction of these new technologies, of these ride-hailing services, is that they were supposed to overcome what seems to be fairly well-documented trends in older forms of transportation, like taxi services. There's long been complaints from communities of color that it was harder to get a taxi ride, or that people wouldn't pick them up because of where they lived, what they looked like, and things like that. And ride-hailing services and the technology that they deploy were supposed to, you know, overcome that. And in fact, both Uber and Lyft say one of the things that they're most proud of is that they're able to get, or they say they're increasing transportation options in exactly these communities. I mean, Damon Cox, are you seeing the two things as, can they be compatible or not?
I think that ultimately the decision by these companies, and here's the thing, I don't want to say that either Uber or Lyft are guilty of these practices, but I think if they don't do anything about any of this, they are complicit. If you look, just a couple days ago, Airbnb just released a community commitment letter, which requires anyone who utilizes their service to sign off on this. And if they decide not to sign off on it, they can't be an Airbnb participant. And it basically says if you discriminate based on race, gender, sexual orientation, or, you know, and so on and so forth, you cannot be a member of the Airbnb community. And I think that these companies need to be proactive. Uber and Lyft, I don't believe they have that type of agreement when you do agree to become a driver. So, you know, perhaps that's the next step in kind of bringing true equality to the service.
Yeah, Christopher Knittle, jump in here. What's your thoughts on that? Because Airbnb has made some significant changes in just the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, I want to be clear with one thing. We're not at all saying Uber and Lyft are worse than the status quo system. In fact, in Seattle, we had research assistants stand at corners trying to hail cabs. And if you were black, 60% of the time the first cab would pass you. And if you were white, only 20% of the time it would pass you. So discrimination exists in the status quo system. What we are saying is that Uber and Lyft can do better if they wanted to. They could completely get rid of names and profile photos if they wanted to. It comes with some cost, but that would eliminate this type of discrimination because the driver would never see who they're picking up until they're right there.
So you'd be issued some kind of random number or
sure.
something that would then match you with the driver that comes to pick you up?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Now, there's a cost to that, right? Because we've been told, and certainly in my experience, I like to know the name of the driver. It makes the relationship more personal.
Uh-huh. Now, what about I mean, hearing from both of you, Christopher and Damon, that this says a lot about the drivers and the decisions they're making. But beyond this sort of fully anonymizing that Christopher Knittle just suggested as a potential technological fix, I mean, Christopher, respond to what Damon Cox was saying about the changes that Airbnb has made specifically. I mean, should ride-hailing services be more proactive in terms of setting standards for their expectations of their drivers?
Yeah, I believe it's the case that when you actually sign up to be a driver, you agree not to discriminate. The key, of course, is enforcement and oversight. So another fix or potential option available to them would be to police canceling more frequently and to limit how much a given driver can cancel trips.
Hmm. Well, listeners, I'm wondering what you think about this. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Have you had an experience like we're describing here, wondering why your ride got canceled all of a sudden? Or if you're an Uber driver or Lyft driver, would love to hear your perspective as well. And, you know, how can these new economy companies, these new tech companies do better when it comes to doing their part to eliminating or reducing implicit bias that seems to surround us everywhere we go? Call us at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. We have a statement here, by the way, that was sent to us from Rachel Holt, head of North American operations for Uber, because we did reach out to them to see if they could join us. And in the statement, they say, ride-sharing apps are changing a transportation status quo that has been unequal for generations, making it easier and more affordable for people to get around, no matter who they are or where they live. Discrimination has no place in society and no place on Uber. We believe Uber is helping reduce transportation inequities across the board, but studies like this one are helpful in in thinking about how we can do even more. Damon Cox, jump in here. We've been seeing these kind of stories with increasing frequency, especially in the Boston area. There, you mentioned Airbnb. There was also the Amazon decision,
sure,
which they undid quickly. They originally didn't have same-day delivery service available in places like Roxbury. They
sure
said there were business and data reasons for that. But obviously, they changed their thinking there. Do you have a concern that data and data-driven businesses may actually be coming late to these to thinking about how their data might actually exacerbate bias or racism? And I'm really thinking of the Amazon example as one of them, because on the one hand, they could have been saying, hey, like, for all the numbers reasons, this is why we made the decision. But it was only after the fact that they thought, well, actually, it wasn't such a good idea.
Yeah, you know, my main concern is, you know, I don't want the redlining of decades ago to kind of be repeated with the innovation economy. And that's what we're seeing with what's happening with Amazon, with this report kind of revealing what's happening with Uber and Lyft and other ride-sharing services. That's my fear, you know, where certain geographies, certain parts of the city, people with certain names are denied services just based upon, you know, what their name sounds like or where they live. So I think it's really incumbent upon all of us that are connected to the innovation economy to really hold these companies to task, to make certain that they're aware. And I think it really starts with kind of diversifying some of these companies from within. I think that if these companies are more diverse from within, internally, if they get their house together, externally, they'll be a stronger company as well.
Let's take a call here. Phoebe's calling from Brighton. You're on the air, Phoebe.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well. What's your thought?
My thought is that I've read that companies like Uber and Lyft are going to be using metrics to tell their drivers things about how they're driving, if they're stopping too quickly, if they're taking too many unsafe turns. And my thought is just that perhaps they could use a similar type of metric to tell their drivers if they thought they were canceling unfairly or discriminating on the basis of any number of different attributes of the riders.
Phoebe, great question and idea. Thank you for your call. Christopher Knittle, your thought on that?
Well, that's exactly right. These companies have a rich amount of data that they could mine to analyze how prevalent discrimination is. One thing that we couldn't get at in our study but is just as important is, where do drivers choose to service? Mm-hmm. You've heard the anecdotes that you can't get a cab in Brooklyn or the Bronx, and that might be going on as well with Uber and Lyft.
Yeah. I'd like to get another call here. Leah is calling from Somerville. You're on the air, Leah.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a kind of a general observation. I use Uber fairly frequently, and I noticed that not very few times have I had a driver that's of white descent. I feel like there's a pretty diverse group of drivers from Uber and Lyft, and I'm just wondering if you could speak to that as far as whether or not, you know, who are the drivers that are discriminating against certain racial groups?
Leah, thank you so much for your call. Damon Cox, you have a thought on that?
That's interesting. It's funny because I'm an African-American male that utilizes both services quite often. And you know, I think maybe I've had two cars canceled for me. So I'm coming from a different perspective. But I have spoken with folks that have had that happen to them, where their rides are constantly canceled. And, you know, as far as the ethnicities of the drivers, I think it's a pretty even split for me. I think it really depends where you live. So it would be more disturbing, I think, if you found that more drivers, which were people of color, were canceling more rides of riders of color.
Right. Well, Christopher Knittle, you're the one who did the study. Tell us about this.
So we actually wanted to analyze that, but whenever you run a big randomized control trial like this, you have to go through a committee of faculty, and one of the rules is that you can't do harm on any of the participants. So we actually were not allowed to collect the data on the drivers because they were concerned that repercussions could be, they could face repercussions from any discrimination.
Yeah. Well, in the last couple minutes that we have, actually, you know what? I'm going to try and sneak in another call here because we've got an Uber driver on the line. Sarah is calling from Lowell. You're on the air, Sarah.
Hi.
Hi. I had three quick points. I'm a female driver. I'm one of the few drivers. I've never had a bad experience, but I do have concerns about fully anonymizing drivers and riders, because I think that's one of the key safety features that we rely on as drivers. Second, I'm one of the few, I've noticed, people of white descent that drives. So, and one of the few females. So I'm wondering what factor that plays, the race of the driver. And lastly, I wanted to say that there have been some misstatements made so far. We actually get kicked out of the system as drivers if we cancel too many rides.
Right.
We get told if our threshold is below 80% for rides that we are kicked off. I'm no longer allowed to drive.
Yeah, no, Sarah, I'm going to jump in here because we've got less than a minute to go before I have to close the show down, but I appreciate your clarification there. I think the question is Uber measuring who the drivers are canceling on and making their decisions based on that? And it doesn't seem like that so far.
Well, so we find that the average cancellation rate for white passengers is 5%, and for blacks it's over 10%. So you would still be under that threshold.
Well, Christopher Knittel is professor of economics at MIT's Sloan School of Management, and he's co-author of the new National Bureau of Economic Research paper on racial and gender discrimination on ride-hailing services. Really eye-opening. Thank you so very much for joining us, and thank you for the study.
Thank you for having me.
And Damon Cox, I absolutely hear your call for making the ranks of tech more diverse in terms of people making those algorithms as part of the solution here. Damon Cox is Director of Economic Development and Entrepreneurship at the Boston Foundation. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's all the time we have today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.